Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God, and welcome to another broadcast of Contending for the Faith. Now, I don't have to introduce myself. You know who I am. I am your brother in Christ. I am your servant in the Lord, and you know me either as Radio Shepherd or Radio Reformer. Listen, I'm just your brother in Christ. I love you much. It's been a while since we've been together. I had a little road trip this weekend. And last week, I was really juggling a bunch of things that needed to get done. But I'm back in studio today, Monday, June the 17th. And we are going to continue with our series on a new full preacher. In today's case, another Dumbo preacher. Dumbo! Dumb as they come, another Dumbo preacher joins the Joint College of Jackass Bishops. Saints, listen, I did a show on June the 7th, and then I did another show on June the 8th, and for whatever reason, Block Talk Radio, our platform, our radio platform, our internet radio platform, didn't post that for about a week, didn't post those two shows for about a week. And when they finally did post it, a great many of you ignored. You ignored broadcast number 7 and 8. You jumped over it. And a great many of you have not listened to broadcast 7 and 8. Now, I want to encourage you to go back, because I put a lot of work, a lot of effort into broadcast number 7 and 8. And you can't do me like that, Saints. I work very hard around here to produce these quality shows for you. And there is much teaching in each one of these broadcasts. You know that. I know that. We have a long history together. And you know that when I come on the air, I am well prepared, ready to bless you with sound exposition and discerning critique of the particular audio that we are considering for the day. Now, please go back. Please make me happy. Can you make me happy? Because then I'm going to feel like I did those two shows and they were a waste. And they shouldn't be a waste. You should be listening to them because they're part of this series. Everything interconnects. So listen, 7 and 8, you missed them. I know you didn't. I know it wasn't your fault originally, because Block Talk Radio didn't post them. Block Talk Radio was asleep on the job. But Saints, after I did those shows, come on, you got to go back and listen to them. Your series study would be incomplete if you didn't. So make me happy. Put a smile on my face right now. I got a frown. I'm sad. Make me happy. Go listen to show number 7 and 8, because like I said, people have just ignored them, and I don't know why. Don't know why, because those were two fabulous shows. Two fabulous shows. Well, you know that we've been talking about this bishop called Lafayette Scales. Lafayette Scales. I don't know the man. I told you I don't know him. Several of these jackass bishops I did know. I don't want to know them anymore. I did know them. I would like to know them again if they come back to Jesus. If they don't come back to Jesus, I don't want to know them. We have nothing to talk about. I don't want to talk about the past because, we had a good past. Yeah, but now we have a rotten present. The present is rotten. And the future is going to be rotten, so that's why I don't want to talk about the past. Don't want to talk about the past. You're in bed with the harlot church. And I don't want anything to do with you. Don't call me. Don't email me. Don't invite me. Because if I do go to your church, I'm going to give out, listen, I'm going to give out copies of Jackass Church Bishops. If you invite me to your church, I'm going to go, but it's to give out copies of Jackass Church Bishops. And then you're not going to like me anymore. So, my brothers and sisters, we've been breaking down this audio of a guy by the name of Lafayette Scales. He's up there in age. I would say he's well in his 60s, well in his 60s. And I've been looking at some videos of him on YouTube. And he's a middle-of-the-road preacher. He's not bad. He's not great. He's just, in the middle. He won't hurt a church. And, he's not going to, like I said, he's going to hurt a church now. Now that he's in the apostate church, now he's going to hurt a church. But, when I looked at his videos, it wasn't like, this guy is bad news. He's just, just a regular run-of-the-mill preacher. But he took a downturn when he joined the Joint College. took a downturn. And there's a 15-minute, 47-second video of his on YouTube called The Consecration of Bishop Lafayette Scales at the Joint College of Bishops 2019. And that's the audio that we've been breaking down, and we're almost at the end. We're almost at the end. Now, today we're going to listen to the entire audio, and there's a reason for that, and the reason being is that I want you to listen to the entire 15-minute consecration, and I want you to take note of all the stuff that they give this guy, because J. Delano Ellis gives him a bunch of junk that he doesn't need. Nobody needs in ministry. Nobody needs this junk. He gives him a bunch of stuff. And then at the end, I want you to listen to the last thing that they give him. And that's the reason why I want to play the entire audio without interruption, because I want you to see what they give him last. And I would submit to you that what they gave him last, they should have gave him first. And what they gave him, and listen, what they gave him last should have been the only thing they gave him. What they gave him last should have been the only thing they gave him. Now, when I got ordained in 1983, and as you know, in the Pentecostal church, they have different ordinations for different levels. If you are being ordained as an exhorter, you know, some Pentecostal churches have what they call exhorter. That's a starting preacher. Then you go from exhorter to licensed minister. Then from licensed minister to ordained minister. Licensed minister means that you can go to nursing homes, you can go to prisons, you can go to hospitals, you can do weddings, you can do a bunch of stuff. But when you become an ordained minister is when you get a church. So exhorter means you are an itinerant preacher. Then licensed minister means that now you can start doing some of the legal stuff, some of the stuff that the authorities, like for example, if you marry someone, if you're a licensed minister and you marry someone and you sign their wedding certificate or their wedding license and they go register that at the county office, as a licensed minister, you have the legal authority to do that. Same thing with baby dedications. You have the legal authority to sign those dedication certificates, and they're as good as anything that the Roman Catholic Church would put forth legally. So you have exhorter, you have licensed minister, then you have ordained minister. That's what we had in the Pentecostal church. So back in 1983, when I was being ordained as a licensed minister, these are the things they gave me. They gave me oil. They put oil on my head. They laid hands on me. They put oil. They laid hands. They prayed. That's what they gave. They gave me in the Pentecostal church now. They put oil on my head. The presbytery laid hands on me. The presbytery being the body of ruling elders in that church. They poured oil, they laid, all the elders stood around me, they laid hands on me. They prayed, and after they prayed, they asked me to stand. Then they gave me a minister's charge, and then after that, they handed me a Bible. Now, I came in walking with a Bible. As a minister in training, I was already preaching the Bible. But then again, in order to ensure that I would stick to the Bible, they once again gave me a new Bible. Here's your Bible. Now, this is what you're going to preach. Don't ever say we didn't give you the Bible at your ordination. So, again, they gave me oil. They gave me the laying on of hands. They said a prayer over me, consecrating me to God. They asked me to stand up, and they gave me a charge, which was don't do anything stupid, live a holy life, honor God, don't become a thief, don't become a wolf in sheep's clothing. Remember that we preachers shall undergo a stricter judgment at the judgment seat of Christ. I mean, they read me the Riot Act. That's what a charge is. Then they handed me a Bible. They handed me a Bible. They said, now, you have many Bibles, but we want to make sure that we gave you a Bible. All right. Now, that's good old-fashioned Pentecostal ordination. Now, let's see what J. Delano Ellis has turned the Pentecostal church into. And let's see what they give this guy. Let's see what they give him at the end. Let's listen.
Called of God, made an apostle, certified to be a bishop among us, we now join together in anointing you with the chrism, anoint your head, that God might open your understanding. We hope. Anoint your ears that you may always be sensitive to hear God. Anoint your great finger, symbol of grasping hold of truth. And we pray and anoint your feet. We pray for your feet. I can't get down there. Somebody just get down there and just anoint his shoes or something. Hallelujah. Walk. Don't knock the shine off of them. Just anoint them. Bishop Scales, thou art called of God. And we believed the recommendation and received the report. We lay hands on you now. We touch your head. We pass on to you apostolic succession, the blessedness that comes with this office. A descendant of Jesus Christ and of one of Jesus' disciples, Thomas. Hallelujah. Let your hand be on him, Lord. Cover him with your blood. Point your hand this way. Every bishop, point your right hand at least this way. Lord, let the glory of you be on him. Let the devil be rebuked everywhere. And everybody that he lays his hands on, I pray that you would empower them. Give them the same blessedness that you put on him.
Yeah, God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on out of here, Satan. Let the devil be bound. Let your name be glorified in the earth. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. And thank you for listening. In Jesus' wonderful name. And now we have consecrated you a bishop in the Lord's church. Do those things that become the office. And I say to you what I say to most bishops that I consecrate. Be careful of your right hand. Don't lay your right hand on everybody. Be careful who you pass this blessedness on to. I got folk I've consecrated. I wish I'd have kept my hand in my pocket. Let it not be said that you will make the... And I'm going to tell you something. I don't feel real badly about it. Because Jesus called 12.
Yes, sir.
And Jesus is God.
Yes.
And one of his was a devil.
Yes.
And he prayed before, see, you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And Van said, and he prayed before he did that. And that one became troubled to him.
Yes.
And precipitated his execution.
Jesus.
Just be careful. Be careful. Let no man buy your right hand. All you bishops in here, hold your right hand up and say out loud, nobody,
nobody
buys my hand. Thank you. Bishop Woodson, wear his vestments, bring stand now. Us old men can't kneel no long time. We got to lay down after a while. All right. He's dressed, you may be seated, he's dressed in a cassock. The cassock is a slave's garment. It's the garment of a servant. He is a slave first. And he's wearing a cincture, which is a servant's tool. It represents the towel that Jesus girded himself with to wash the disciples' feet. They are putting on him the rashes. Some people call it a surplice. That's wrong. It's not a surplice. It's a rashes. It's white. It is the symbol of the priesthood. He celebrates the sacraments of our redemption. Holy Communion, baptism.
All righty, now we have an embedded commercial, so we have to let that pass. And, all right, here it is.
Forgiveness of sin. And now here, he's receiving the shamir, the coat of the prophet preacher. That's it. Sometimes called the mantle, the same garment that Elijah threw out of the sky. And Elisha picked it up and smote the water. The tippet or the stole is a symbol of jurisdiction. Is his, not on there, his seal will be on it soon. It's just been created. And to put his cross on him. Give me his cross. Come, Bishop. His people got together and gave their gold. Bishop wears a piece of you. What was precious to you is now precious to him. Ring. Ring. This was also made from the gold that the people gave. That's his ring with the amethyst, the stone of the bishop. And this is the symbol that represents his collegiality with all of us.
Yes.
We're all in one club together. That's why we shouldn't double cross each other. We're a fraternity. We are the fraternal order of the holy. And we're loyal to Christ. and to each other. That's why you don't take members from folks from bishops' churches without finding out why they left the last church. They're jumping around, switching churches, beating the tent. You better put that on. Oh, you got it. All right. And that's last. This ring is a replica. He is the husband to Saint Teresa. And he gives her his ring symbol. But let me get a more heard of. Get it on. There you go, Mother. Now here's your box. Congratulations. And welcome to the fraternity of bishops. We ask you to join us. We salute your ring.
Continue to share with the people of God.
Now, that was Jay Delano Ellis telling the co-consecrator, Bishop Alfred Owens, give him the Bible, give him the Bible. And then Alfred Owens walks up to him and says, and he sounds like, listen, Alfred Owens sounds like he's asleep. This is the word of God that you will give to the people of God. I mean, this guy's asleep. Listen to this again.
To the fraternity of bishops, we ask you to join us. We salute your ring.
Continue to share with the people of God.
Well, saints, you see, the last thing that they give them is the Bible. Let's listen one more time, and you'll see that Jay Delano Ellis, after Owens says his little piece there, he says the consecration is over. Listen to this.
That you will continue to share with the people of God.
Now, did you hear anybody get excited about that? No, nobody got excited when he got the Bible. Nobody got excited when co-consecrator Alfred Owens says, now this is the Bible, this is the word of God that you will continue to give to the people of God. You didn't hear a clap. You heard crickets. You hear a sound. Now, compare that to when they gave him the cross. When they gave him the gold cross, and Jay Delano Ellis stated the fact that the people gave their gold in order that they might make him the gold chain and the big gold cross, the people went ballistic. They went crazy. Oh! It's amazing to me how people cheered the most when they're getting fleeced the most. When the people are undergoing a Sunday morning stick-up at the hands of these con artist preachers, when the people, I lived in the projects. I lived in the ghetto for many years. I don't recall ever seeing anyone cheering and praising when the stick-up guy walked up to them and said, put your hands up and give me your purse and put your hands up. I don't even recall the woman saying, praise God, praise the Lord. No. The woman was holding on to her purse for dear life and she was mad. I got my welfare check in here. I got my food stamps in this purse. You're going to have to kill me, stick-up artist, before I... But here the people are getting stuck up. The people are getting fleeced. They have to give up their gold. Their gold. So that they can make their bogus bishop a worthless gold chain. Well, it's not worthless to him. It's worthless in the sight of God. Because the gold chain means absolutely nothing. It is a relic of paganism. It just shows what side lobotomized scales has joined. Now listen again. Listen to the people praising when they put the chain around his neck. Listen to the people praise and scream and shout. They're excited when they're getting mugged. Like I said, I lived in the projects many years. I remember I had a friend. We were outside. He was changing a tire on his mini bike outside on the street, right there in the projects, in the Red Hook projects in Brooklyn. He's changing the tire on his mini bike, and a guy walked up to him and says, hey, man, what time you got? And my friend looked at his gold watch and gave the guy the time, and out came a switchblade, and he says, let me have that watch. Let me have that watch. And my friend slowly took the watch off, gave it to the dude. The dude was an Olympic runner. He ran so we couldn't catch up to this guy. We never caught up to him. He cut out with a watch. My friend was beside himself. Well, outside. Changing the tire. The mini bike was upside down. Changing the tire. Putting the chain on. Guy comes over. Hey, man, got the time? My friend gave him the time. Switchblade, long switchblade, a switchblade you don't mess with, one of them long ones, one of the kinds that if you get stuck with it, it pierces vital organs. My friend slowly took that watch off and gave it to that joker. He ran. He was so flea-footed. He started to run, and, I mean, he disappeared. He's a fast runner. And my friend was beside himself, forgot about his mini bike, forgot about changing the tire, was just beside himself. I've never heard people cheer when they're getting fleeced like these people. Listen to this.
And smote the water. The tippet or the stole is a symbol of jurisdiction. Is his, not on there, his seal will be on it soon. It's just been created. And to put his cross on him, give me his cross.
Now listen to Jay Delano Ellis. Let him watch him explain how this cross came into existence.
Come, Bishop. His people got together and gave their gold.
Yeah.
is a symbol of jurisdiction. Is his, not on there, his seal will be on it soon. It's just been created. And to put his cross on him, give me his cross. Come, Bishop. His people got together and gave their gold. His people got together and gave their gold. Gave their gold.
I've never seen black people cheer when they're getting robbed. I've never seen that. Only in the black church. Only in the black church. Not in the projects. You don't find black people in the projects cheering when they're getting mugged. I never saw black people excited about getting ripped off. I've never seen black people come out of a stick-up praising God. Never saw. They're crying. Oh, they're beside themselves. Not here. Not here. But watch. Watch what happens. Watch. You'll hear crickets when they give them the Bible. Listen to this.
Your bishop wears a piece of you. What was precious to you is now precious to him. Ring. Ring. This was also made from the gold that the people gave. That's his ring with the amethyst, the stone of the bishop. And this is the symbol that represents his collegiality with all of us.
Yes.
We're all in one club together. That's why we shouldn't double cross each other. We're a fraternity.
Yeah, a fraternity of double crossers. Guys who don't double cross each other, but double cross the people. Yeah, you don't double cross each other. Like the mafia dons don't double cross each other, but you double cross the people.
People gave, that's his ring with the amethyst, the stone of the bishop. And this is the symbol that represents his collegiality with all of us.
Yes.
We're all in one club together. That's why we shouldn't double cross each other. We're a fraternity. We are the fraternal order of the holy.
Fraternal order of the stick-up artist.
And we're loyal to Christ and to each other. That's why you don't take members from folks from bishops' churches without finding out why they left the last church. They're jumping around, switching churches, beating the tip. You better put that on. Oh, you got it. All right. And that's last. This ring is replica. He is the husband to Saint Teresa, and he gives her his ring symbol. Thank you. I'll never get a no hurdle. Get it over. There you go, Mother. Now, here's your box.
In other words, he says, beat it. He gives it, he goes, here's your box now. And he looks at her like, beat it, mosey on out of here. This guy's a clown.
I'll never get a no hurdle. Get it on. There you go, Mother. Now, here's your box.
Now here comes the part with the Bible. Listen to this and watch. You're going to hear silence, crickets.
Congratulations and welcome to the fraternity of bishops. We ask you to join us. We salute your ring.
Continue to share with the people of God.
And all the people said, the consecration is ended.
See, the consecration is ended. They gave them the Bible, nothing. They said nothing. Now, they had to add the Bible. They hate the Bible. They hate the Bible. And when you get my book, Jackass Church Bishops, which, by the way, you know is yours for the asking. All you have to do is ask me. It's a wonderful book, 15 chapters, over 240 pages, over 260 footnotes. It is a wonderful read. Scholarly, yes, but a very easy read, very easy read. It's going to make you laugh. It's going to make you cry. It's going to make you think. And in the book, Jackass Church Bishops, I show you why they give lip service to the Word of God, why they give lip service to the Bible, why they make token mentions of the Bible, but they despise the Bible. When I got, like I said, when I got ordained in 1983, from the beginning of the service to the end of the service, it was all Bible. They anointed me. Listen, when they anointed me with oil, they didn't call it chrism. When they anointed me with oil, they didn't call the oil chrism. They called it oil. Because you don't find the word chrism in the Bible. You find it in Roman Catholic canon law. You find the word chrism in Roman Catholic dictionaries, in Roman Catholic encyclopedias, and in Roman Catholic canon law. What you find in the Bible is that Samuel took the horn of oil. It doesn't say in Samuel took the horn of chrism and anointed David. It says he took the horn of oil. Everything that was done in old Pentecostal consecration and ordination services was based on Scripture. Everything was based on Scripture. As you can see, they're giving this guy a Bible at the end, and it's a token reference. Here it is again. Listen to this. Give him the Bible. Give him the Bible. Wake up, Owens. Give him the Bible. And then Owens walks up. He's half asleep. This is the word of God that you shall continue to give to the people of God.
The word of God that you will continue to share with the people of God.
And now I'll go back to sleep. I'll go back to sleep. That's Owens. He went back to his bed, to his couch to take a nap. What is lip service? They're rendering lip service to the Bible. Please get my book, Jackass Church Bishops. I have two diagrams in the book. One diagram shows what Protestants believe in, what Protestants, which, by the way, Pentecostals are Protestants. What Protestants believe in. Do you know that Protestants believe in only one thing? Scripture alone. Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone. These clowns, like J. Delano Ellis and Alfred Owens, they believe in three things. Magisterium, sacred scripture, and sacred tradition. That's what they believe in. They have a three-legged stool on which they sit upon. Magisterium, which is the teaching body, the Roman Catholic gurus, if you will, the teachers who determine what the Catholic Church will teach, that's magisterium. Then, of course, they give lip service to the Bible. And then, of course, sacred tradition. Sacred tradition, which is the myths and fables, the myths and fables, and we know that Paul tells Titus and Timothy, disregard fables and myths. Disregard them. You're to disregard them. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy and Titus that they ought to regard endless genealogies. We're going to get into that tomorrow. But my brothers and sisters, how many times does even Peter talks about contrived fables? These false teachers preach and sinner men follow. Contrived fables, sacred traditions, the kind of traditions that Jesus told the religious leaders make the word of God of no effect. If you were to ask J. Delano Ellis, Mr. Ellis, where did you get that skull cap from? Where did you get the idea? Did you get it in the Bible? No, sacred tradition. J. Delano Ellis, why do you do your consecration services in the order in which you do them? And you call things the way you call them, like oil. Why don't you just call it oil? Why did you call it chrism? Well, the magisterium tells us that we have to call it chrism. The ruling teaching body of Catholicism tells us. So, my brothers and sisters, as you can see, the word of God is being rendered lip service. Lip service. What is lip service? It's what we call, it's what the thesaurus calls insincere agreement. Alfred Owen says, it is the word of God that you're supposed to give to the people of God. When he says that with no energy Owens, when he speaks like that, half asleep, he's sleepwalking through the ceremony, Owens is, when he goes, this is the word of God that you are to give to the people of God. That's insincere agreement. It's lip service. You're just adding it. You're just adding it to the ceremony because that's what the Catholic Church does. But the Catholic Church can care less about the word of God because the word of God contradicts the magisterium, and the word of God contradicts sacred tradition, and sacred tradition and the magisterium are ganging up on the word of God, and whenever the word of God contradicts them, they have the final say, not the word of God. So again, what is lip service? Insincere agreement. Another term for lip service is empty talk. Another word or another phrase for lip service is token agreement, hollow words, smooth talk, duplicity. Let me repeat those. When J. Delano Ellis and his band of jackass bishops do these ceremonies, they cannot tell us from Scripture why they're doing what they're doing, and where all these outfits come from, and the cross, and the ring. They can't. You know where all this stuff comes from? It comes because they get it from sacred tradition. What is sacred tradition? Roman and Greek pagan tradition. Roman and Greek pagan tradition. That's what they get it from. And that is being pushed by, you see, it's the magisterium, it's the apostate body of teachers within the Roman Catholic Church that are pushing sacred tradition and are not pushing the Holy Scriptures. The apostate members of the magisterium, the ruling teaching body of the Roman Catholic Church, are pushing Roman Catholic and Greek fables. And whenever they stand up and they crack the Bible open in half and they put the Bible over a priest's head and said, this is the word of God that you're supposed to give to the people of God, they're just rendering lip service, because nothing that they do here, not one item done, not one thing done in this ceremony was based on Scripture. The Bible is left for last, and the Bible is given a two-second mention. When you talk about a two-second mention, all you're doing is giving the Bible lip service. All you're doing is giving the Bible a few hollow words. This is the word of God for the people of God. That's all you're doing. That's all you're doing. You're doing exactly this.
Give him the Bible. Give him the Bible.
The word of God that you will continue to share with the people of God.
But it wasn't shared at the consecration. The word of God wasn't shared at the consecration, because none of what was done was based on the word of God. So again, this is just a lie. Look what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, this was the charge. This was the charge that was read at my ordination in 1983. This was the charge. It says in 2 Timothy 4, starting at verse 1, Paul says to Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Preach the word. What word? The word of God. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. With the word you are to reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own selves and after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, because they have itching ears. And they shall turn away from God's truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. But you, Timothy, watch in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. How do you make full proof of thy ministry? You preach the word. Now, why couldn't Owens read that? Why couldn't Owens? Listen, it only took me but a few seconds. It only took me but 5 seconds, five to 10 seconds to read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. It only took me but a few seconds to read that. Why couldn't Owens read that? He said, this is the word of God that you are to give to the people of God. That's it. That's it? You left the word of God for last. The word of God is to be preeminent. You know what was preeminent throughout this whole service? Do you know what was preeminent? The words of J. Delano Clown Ellis. The words of Jackass J. Delano Ellis. His words were preeminent. The word of God took a back seat to the words of J. Delano Ellis. And then at the end, give him the Bible. Give him the Bible. Well, what are you going to give him the Bible for? He's never going to be allowed to use it. Do you think Lafayette Scales, who has now become lobotomized scales. Do you think lobotomized scales is ever going to be allowed to use the Bible? No. I am holding in my hands, in front of me, right in front of me, holding in my hands is J. Delano Ellis's book, The Bishopric. The Bishopric. A handbook on creating episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal Church. Do you know that in this pamphlet, which is made up of 97 pages, do you know that there is one scripture verse in this whole book? Do you know that there, in 97 pages, there's only one Bible verse in this entire pamphlet, one Bible verse, and it is Acts 2:4. It's Acts 2:4. That's it. In 97 pages, we have one Bible verse in J. Delano Ellis's little pamphlet that he uses to brainwash people like Lafayette Scales. One Bible verse in the entire book. 97. One. Now remember, this guy claims to be a successor of Christ and a successor of the apostles. Didn't Jesus say, "Don't you know that it is written?" When asked about marriage, Jesus says, "Don't you know that it is written?" And when Jesus read the scroll in Luke chapter 4, when he entered into the synagogue and he read the scriptures, he says, "Today is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Do you know that Jesus constantly quoted the scriptures? The Apostle Paul constantly quoting the scriptures. Peter constantly quoting the scriptures. John, the Apostle John, constantly quoting the scriptures. And J. Delano Ellis claims to be a successor of Christ and of the apostles. And in his little book of 97 pages, he quotes the scriptures one time. In other words, my brothers and sisters, J. Delano Ellis has rendered the Bible, has given the Bible lip service. Lip service is what you call a token agreement. You know how you have a token Negro? You know how, like, some white people will allow a token Negro in their country club? Well, that's the same thing. J. Delano is allowing a token scripture in his book, but he hates the Bible. The man hates the Bible because he doesn't quote it. But he never fails. He never fails to quote the magisterium, and he never fails to quote sacred tradition, which is Roman Catholic tradition. He never fails. All of this stuff that he went through, this whole ceremony that he went through, this whole episcopal elevation that he went through, all of that is after Roman Catholic canon law. And none of Roman Catholic canon law is based on the Bible. None of it. None of it. So let me encourage you, my dear brothers and sisters, to get my book, Jackass Church Bishops, because in the book, I devote an entire chapter to how we Protestants, how we Pentecostals put a lot of emphasis on scripture, and how J. Delano Ellis and his band of apostate bishops, how they put great emphasis on the magisterium. Look. Let me just get this for you. Hold on one minute. I'm going to type in here right in my computer, Bishop Eric D. Garns, another jackass fool bishop. And I'm going to play his little clip on magisterium. Let me play that little clip for you here. I want you to see. Listen. Look. Here is Bishop Garns. Here's another jackass fool. Here he is. Here it is. Listen to this.
Two sentences. Why do we do magisterium, which will take place tomorrow?
What is?
I decided, thank you. What is magisterium? Like your mind. What is magisterium? Magisterium is a setting for theology, debate, or apologetic debate, where we defend our beliefs. It is possible for everyone, like in the book of Acts, to meet in the Council of James, for everyone to be in the same church and still have, believe it or not, a different set of beliefs.
What a liar. No one in the church had a different set of beliefs. They came together at the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15 to establish, for the record, the unity of belief. If you read Acts 15, they said it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to set this as our standard of belief. There was no confusion, and they were not in the same church all believing different things. That is a lie. This guy's a clown. And I want to see if he, when he reads Jackass Church Bishops, in which I mention him and I quote him quite a bit, I want to see if Mr. Eric Garns has what it takes to debate me in public, in front of the church. That's right, Mr. Garns. Listen to this clown. And this guy is so, he is so effeminate. Mr. Garns, have you been dipped in sissy sauce? Here he is.
Two sentences. Why do we do magisterium, which will take place tomorrow?
What is?
I decided, thank you. What is magisterium? Like your mind. What is magisterium? Magisterium is a setting for theology, debate, or apologetic debate, where we defend our beliefs.
Now, when in the black church, when in the black Pentecostal church did you ever hear the word magisterium? You never heard that in the black Pentecostal church. This is a new thing. This has come in with Jay Delano Ellis and his Catholic wannabe clowns. And I can tell you right now that he's saying this is a magisterium is where we have theological debates, apologetic debates. But I bet you Mr. Garns won't debate me. I'll bet you he refuses to debate me because I will mop the theological floor with him.
It is possible for everyone, like in the book of Acts, to meet in the Council of James, for everyone to be in the same church and still have, believe it or not, a different set of beliefs.
What a fool. What a fool. I can take him to the book of Acts and show him that the church was unified in what they believe. They came out of that council in complete agreement, writing to the Gentile churches and saying, it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us not to lay no burdens on you than what Scripture already demands. They went by the Scriptures, by the Word of God. That's what they did. So, my brothers and sisters, we have our work cut out for us. I want you to get the book Jackass Church Bishops. I want you to read that whole chapter in which I talk about sola scriptura, the key value of having the Word of God as our sole standard for belief and practice, for belief and practice. And I want, listen, saints, this is so important because these guys are they're doing it on purpose. They are purposely trying to dumb down the people of God. And I must say, they have done a good job as of late dumbing down the people of God. Well, saints, that'll do it for today. I'll be back tomorrow with more. Because we're not over. The consecration is over, but Jay Delano Ellis continues to say some stupid things that we need to break down, so I'll be back tomorrow. Love you much in Jesus. Keep the faith and keep preaching the Word of God.
100%.